There are things that about the Lord that when I think about, tears always come to my eyes. I don't guess I do a whole lot of crying or whatever, but the Lord touches my heart sometimes, and the scriptures present him sometimes in a way that move me spirit, soul, and body, you know. I mean, it's just, he gets me, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, because he would like to have you spirit, soul, and body. Amen. But I'm not referring to emotionalism. I'm talking about something of the Lord that just gets you. Just get you. So tonight I'll be sharing some of those things, and excuse me if I get watery, but they are just the areas that he really knows how to get to me. We've been sharing, this is our third night for me to share, and I appreciate the hunger for Jesus, the hunger that you have for Jesus, you know, because I have that hunger. I want the Lord. I do. I want the Lord, and I love being around people that I love what Francine said when I was jokingly saying to Vera, well, we'll invite you back, but well, I don't know about you. And she said, we're coming anyway. That's what I want to hear. It was perfect. That really touched my heart. And but you've always been used of the Lord to touch my heart. So, and so what this gathering has been about is, see, you can't even call it a theme, because it's not a theme. We're not going to theme our way to God. Right. You know, we're gonna. Thank you, brother. Can I set this on the piano? Are you sure? Hand me that. You aren't going to cry anyway.
I'm already crying.
We're going to pass through the veil to get to God. That's not theme our way there. We're going to pass through the veil to get to him. And only the Holy Spirit can take us there. And so what we've been about is, and what this gathering is about, is really what we can give to Jesus. You know, not what we can get from Jesus, but what we can give to him. And I'm sure there are other gatherings that have done this before. Maybe. Because there's so much emphasis on what he can give us, and Lord, give us, and Lord, we've gathered here so you'll give us and do for us and think about us, and we just receive, okay, and you know, we're like, yeah, hit me, give, I want it all, you know. And it sounds spiritual to say I want it all, but how about we lay it all down for a while at least, my God, and go after him and pour out on him. And really, really have a time where he, have you ever gone to a conference or anything and afterwards you said, man, I really enjoyed that. It really blessed me, you know. Or a special church service. Well, I want Jesus to be going and saying, man, I really enjoyed that. That really blessed me. I mean, stop it. I just love Jesus, you know, and I don't claim to have much else except that I love Jesus and that's who I want and that's where I'm going. And I don't plan on stopping. So the first night, this is the third night of my sharing. The first night we shared, out of Luke. And it was a situation, I'm just looking at the scriptures here. You don't have to turn there right this minute. I'll just read it. Now behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to get? What shall I do? I want, just tell me what I can do to get eternal life. And again, you remember the prodigal son when he left. He went to the father and said, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Give me. And he went out and you know the story. But when he came back, he said, make me. Not give me, make me. And he said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Okay. But then if you really understand that story, the son began to be revealed in him at the altar. And that's a long story. So you have this man, and I wonder if the words tempting Jesus, he said this to tempt him, wasn't not something intentional, but he's by saying that, he's just messing with Jesus because he is so self-giving. And it could have read, and this just came to me, but it could have read, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, and Jesus slapped him. No. But, the point being, that is not correct. That is not right. That is, and if you really want to know, if you really want to see how to get, you need to forget. Forget. Forget yourself and love the Lord thy God with all your, I've got it right here. It's going to work this time. Heart. And with all your, where did pigeons come in? Was it this part? Okay. With all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And Jesus is literally coming from another, as it were, universe from this guy. Do you think you're spiritual by putting yourself first? Do you think that that's what I want to hear out of you, is that it's all about yourself? And the scriptures talk about us being conformed to the image of Christ, which we all say, yeah, so that I can have power to do miracles and I can do this and that, and that's fine. I'm not against that, but I don't believe that's what, I believe conformed to the image of Christ is Christ in us, his nature coming out of us. Selfless, blessing others, not always thinking of yourself, but thinking of God and others. And Jesus, it's interesting because he said, he kind of said like this, well, go to the Word. How do you read the Word? How do you read it? Oh, well, that's the problem. We read it with ourself first. We read it with what's important to us, and that's us. This is what's important, me. And we don't see him. We see stories. We see stories, and then there's this story, and then, Lord, I don't know why, but here's another story, and then Here's another story. And we don't see a flow. We don't see the flow of his heart, really, because that's what it boils down to. So we discussed that, and we discussed that the very first thing the Lord said when they said, well, tell us what to do in the wilderness when they were at Mount Sinai, just tell us what to do. He starts with, okay, love me. Go after me. Seek me. And he's saying, I mean, and in fact, I mean, Jesus said everything else is fulfilled in that. What? To love the Lord thy God with all your heart. And so, I was certainly deeply moved by Jesus' response, because I didn't see it as a theological response. You know, theology, the study of God. What a word. That's what theology means, the study of God. You can't study God. You can only know him, you know. And you can't know him unless he is revealed by the Spirit. No man knoweth the Father but the Son. Okay, well, he didn't say no man knoweth God. He said no man knows my Father but his Son. And no man knows his Son but the Father. Now, they know each other as Father and Son. And we're going to have to be brought into that. You can't be taught that. You have to be brought into that. It has to become a living issue in your life. It can't be words. It can't be teachings. It can't be all of that. I mean, somewhere the heart, you know, the heart gives way to the life of Christ. And says, you fill this vessel so that the, not so we get something, but so that the Father can glory in his Son. The Father can get something out of it. So the Son's getting us, and instead of us just getting the Son, because, you know, I mean, I said years ago, you know, God got me. I didn't get him. You know. I didn't, you know. And my hope to this day is that he keeps getting me. I do not, well, let me add this then. I do not trust in my spirituality or my heart being in a special place. You know, I know we all want to believe that, but I don't believe in my heart being in a special place or anything that's going to get it. I believe that when your heart says, you want your Son and I am with you, so get him out of me. You do it, though, but you, because that's his desire. He's the one who came up with the plan, you know. And it's a desire in his heart. And when you just say, look, I'm going by you, not me. I'm trusting in you, not me. I believe with all my heart you want your Son, and you didn't put him in me so that I'd be Christian. You put him in me so you could get your Son back. You know, God's not going, oh, I just want Christians. You know, give me Christians. He wants his Son, and we became Christian because of Christ. Take Christ out of it and you're just uns. You're not. I know, that's weird, isn't it? You can't understand that one. It is being a religion on this earth and not involved in an eternal relationship that he wanted from us and with us. Eternal relationship. Stepping out of the world, stepping out of religion, and stepping into the heart of Jesus so that he may fill us and so that he may glorify the Father. Well, I may need some of these tissues for this. Sorry. How can, people say, how can this guy be so spiritual and so carnal all at the same time? Yes. And I would say, oh, you mean like us, all of us? Because we've got the Lord, but we got some things wrong. At least mine's funny. Okay, so I wrote underneath those scriptures, notice how the emphasis was upon taking care of the Lord's needs and not our own. The emphasis is upon taking care of the Lord, the desire he had from the foundation of the world, from before. And so then we went to these other scriptures for the second session, and it dealt with Martha and Mary. And I think I'll just read this one to you. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a village, a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Lord, do something for me. Make her get up and leave you and leave your feet and leave what's happening there. Make her get up and come help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And then I had this translation, and this is the New Living Translation. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. How's that sound? So I wrote at the end of this one, again, notice how the emphasis was upon taking care of his needs and not our own. Okay, I want to go to, and if you have your Bible, let's see if I can find it here. Where did I move that to? Here it is. Matthew. Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to be in chapter 27. I like this music stand. It has holes in it where you can keep things. It's practical. Matthew 27. All right, so I'm going to jump around on some verses with purpose, okay? So we're going to read verse 1 through 2. When the morning was come, all the chief priests, let me put something here. All the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now, jump to verse 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged, meaning he wounded Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And they stripped him And they put on him a scarlet robe, and they spit upon him, and they took the reed, and they smote him on the head. That was 26, sorry, that's 26, 28, and 30. Okay, now the last two will be 38 and 44. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left hand. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in their teeth. Okay, so you have the priests, the chief priests. You have the priests, and you have the beating of Jesus, and you have the thieves. And you have the stripping of his garments, and you have him left for dead. So I'm going to share now the heart of what the Lord put to me. And that was the verses that we read first, the first night, about Jesus turning and saying, it's not about you, it's about loving the Lord thy God, okay? And then the verses about Martha and Mary, they're all in Luke 10, okay? But there was a gap between the ones with Jesus saying what he said there to the lawyer and to Martha and Mary. There was a gap of scriptures. And I would like to read all of that in one thing, and then cover the gap. Okay, so I'm gonna, and it would do me good if you didn't read along with me, if you just listened, so that you could see what was missing, what was right. It's like a sandwich, two pieces of bread, and then there's something right in between. Usually, what's in between is the good stuff, you know. So just listen, if you would. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out two pieces and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay me. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good thing. if you look at the context of these scriptures, the story of the Good Samaritan, the person who got beat, is Jesus.
Yeah.
It's Jesus. And that's why I went through those scriptures at first in Matthew. You have the priest, you have the beating, you have the thieves, you have the stripping of the garments, you have left for dead. Jesus brought that up. And it's what's interesting is we always think of our neighbor, we think of him as the guy who lives next door or whatever, but Jesus is referring to himself there. And the context is absolutely clear. It never leaves the theme of it's not about you, it's about him. It's not about you shouldn't, if you want to get to him, then let your heart be there. And his heart is with us. And let it come together. So, as I read through this, verse 30, you can look there now if you want. And Jesus answering said, a certain man. And are you familiar with the story of the prodigal son? The story begins with Jesus saying, a certain man had two sons. And the more you get into the story, you realize that Jesus isn't talking about just somebody. He's talking about his father. He's talking about his father and what the father wants out of his sons. Okay? So here, and so many times in the scriptures, when he says a certain man, he's either referring to the Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, and let me say this to you. I'm sure you've never heard it put like this before, the story of the Good Samaritan, and you do not believe me just because I'm saying it is that. But you can at least see that I have a good reason to say that because it flows. Every verse went from one story to the other, and the beautiful thing is it put the Good Samaritan right in between the two, so it was undeniable on either side. And so I was saying, this is it. Jesus is speaking of that certain man, and that certain man is him going into death because the scriptures speak of Christ and him crucified. Went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Jesus crucified on a cross, which stripped him of his raiment. Absolutely. Absolutely. And wounded him. Do you see the wording here? And departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down. So now this part of the story, yes, Jesus was crucified, and Jesus is telling this, and he will be crucified. But now this part pertains to us. Where are we at in our relationship? Is this Martha that's going to just pass on by and, you know, not really get down on her knees and give and love and pour back this way? Is this the lawyer that's going to say, give me, and I'm not going to take care of you? So we read. Verse 31. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And remember, it said the priest. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Folks, people look at Christ crucified, whether it was the physical thing that took place that was revolting to see blood and all this kind of stuff or whatever, or if someone is preaching Christ and him crucified as a way. Yeah, they can be revolted. I don't want to see that. I'll just pass on by. Because that man, that Jesus, that Son of God on that cross The scriptures, Isaiah saw it, there is no beauty that we should desire him. It's not outward beauty. It's the beauty of the heart that took him to the cross for us. Verse 32, and likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. So let's apply this to what's coming. Jesus is there and he's talking about this and he's using this as an example. And he knows for sure that the Levites are going to pass by him as, you know, what he is. And the priests are going to do the same and they're going to hang him on a cross. And he knows that. But he's looking for a Samaritan, if you will. This is all one story. This isn't that far away from him dying on the cross. And he's looking for someone that would look past the wounds in a negative way and the blood and the pain and embrace the crucified. Embrace him. Embrace his heart. Not just be there at the cross and hug his legs, but say, I want that spirit in me. And call that beautiful. Call that, now that's beauty. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan. Oh my God, is that Mary of Bethany? You know, I'm just saying, let it be us. You know? Let it be us. Let us be a certain Samaritan. As he journeyed, came where, and I put in parentheses, he was. He came to where he was. He didn't try to get Jesus to come to where he was. You know, come to me. I'm hurting. I need. That's us. And that's, you know, and I understand needs and hurts, but, you know, there's something, I'm telling you, there's something in God that desires this. This, you know, either that or I'm crazy, because this flow, the Spirit of God just like went, look, it's all one thing, and it hadn't left the theme, and Jesus hadn't left the theme. And if you listen to the wording and stuff, you see how it actually is not three separate stories. It flows perfectly together, and it's flowing to express a certain thing in his heart. Martha, Martha, you are caught up in the details. The scribes and Pharisees and lawyers, you're caught up in all the details of religion or getting the task done or ministry. When you should be loving the Lord thy God with all your heart. And Mary has, I wish it was right here because it's, yeah. Mary has discovered it. What? Not, he called it an it. Because it wasn't just discovering him. It was discovering that there was something she was giving back to him. And that's why she came back later and broke the alabaster box and poured it on his feet and wept and put tears all over him and didn't justify when the disciples, they're being the Levites and the priests here walking by. They're saying, you know, you waste, that's waste. We could have taken care of people here and fed their bellies until the money ran out and then they're still hungry. Or we have you with us. Jesus said that. The poor you have with you always. This is your shot. This is your time to either find out what it's really about and to do it or to pass on by. That's right. And he came where he was. That just That part of the verse really blessed me. That guy, that Samaritan, he saw him in his blood. He saw him. And he came where he was. He worked past all of, you know, everybody's going around him and everything and not paying any attention to the wounded one. And he goes over there. Yes. And he pours oil in. Oh, my God, is he talking about Mary Bethany? And does Mary Bethany not represent just a person but a spirit and a heart? Yes. I can't get past he was where he was. Again, just because we're always so in the earth. We're all always, oh, I'm here, Lord. And so that's when we think of him. You know, oh, yeah, we've got Jesus. Oh, Jesus, come where I am. Come in this mess. Get down here in the dirt and yuck and everything of our lives and make us better instead of conform us to the image of Christ. And instead of, Lord, I am going to leave this mess right now. You know, you can do that in your spirit, in your heart. You can leave that mess and just go be with him. And get right at his feet and kiss his feet. You can do it. And came where he was, and when he saw him, when the Samaritan saw him, when he saw this bloody mess, you know, folks, you know what it's like. You see somebody like that or something like that. You don't know if they're drunk. You don't know if they're like that because they got in a fight, because they were mean or treating somebody wrong. Or, you know, there's a lot of different things could be the why this happened, you know. And, of course, that's the same thing going in as while we're walking by the cross and, you know, looking up there at Jesus and going, oh, he's just with two thieves, so he's probably a thief, you know. Look, Mommy, there's that man right there in the middle. What? Why are they doing this to him? Oh, he's between two thieves. He's probably a thief. See, we just use our mind. We just use what we think. We just use our worldly thinking to try to figure these things out. Well, I don't know. All I know is that he came where he was, and when he saw him, What does that mean? Can that mean that there's a seeing of Jesus? A seeing that we can have by the Holy Spirit, where we can see that this isn't a drunk, this isn't someone who did this or that. We can see this is the true, selfless Son of God, sent by the Father into the earth. Can we love that one and love that heart? And he had compassion on him, and he went to him. And it's interesting the wording, how it keeps talking about him. And the Samaritan will talk about him and did this for him. It's really, you know, remember, this is in the sandwich. It's the meat in the sandwich. And it's really just saying it, him, him, him. I mean, it's just amazing to me. Had compassion on him and went to him. He went to him. Okay, so yes. It's okay to ask God to heal you or to fix you this or that. I'm still for that. And I think I still have a pastor's heart. I care about the sheep. I care. But I care about Jesus more. I do. And maybe that gets me in trouble as a pastor, but that's what I do. I care more about Jesus. And I'm going to, that's going to keep me always putting him before the sheep, you know. And the sheep can feel rebuked because I say, we need to get our eyes on Jesus, not yourself. And you should be petting me, you know. I'm not going to pet you. I am going to bring you to the altar that he died on. And he went to him. Oh, this next part. Please, Lord, don't let me just break down. And bound up his wounds. Bound up his wounds. You know, I don't know how to say this because it's just a spiritual thing that hits me. But it's like Jesus was wounded. And we don't really think of that in that way. I mean, and we don't think in terms of, Lord, I'd like to bind up your wounds, because we think in terms of time and space, and well, I'm not there. But is it, how about this? What if, well, things have happened when I was raising my kids, and I have wounded my own daughter, the one that's right here, have wounded her at a certain time, not necessarily intentionally, but did. And so then time passes and you go, well, I can't bind up her wounds now. Oh, yes, you can. And we did. And we got together and we bound up those wounds. Well, okay, praise God. That can happen in earthly relationships, amen? But it can't it? I mean, if this is just a shadow of that, can't we in our hearts bind up his wounds and say, these are beautiful wounds. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah to you and lovingly. Bind up those wounds. Pouring in oil and wine. Pouring in oil and wine. First thing comes to my mind is that would sting. Pouring that wine into an open wound. Second thing I think about is that will kill the germs and that will be good for it. Sometimes it stings. It stings when you have wounds. And then if the Lord deals with those wounds by pouring in oil and wine, we may feel the sting and go, no, I don't want to hear from you. You know, this stings too much. We need to say, keep pouring in the oil and wine. I see your heart behind this. But then let's move from us back to him. Pouring in the oil. My Lord. You know, the word anointing, do you know what that word is? It's talking about with oil. Okay. So we say, Lord, anoint me with oil to be a powerful minister for you. Isn't that putting everything back this direction? Isn't that not coming and saying, Lord, give me enough oil to pour on your son's feet?
Yes, Lord.
You know? Give me enough anointing that I can pour out on him, the anointed.
Yes.
I'm not the anointed, so why am I asking to be the anointed one? Seriously. He's the anointed one. The Christ, the word Christ means. And all I'd want is to be able to bind up wounds and pour in oil and wine and know that somehow, see, I know that I can't fully understand his heart in this. Have you ever been with someone, know someone, you know, maybe it could be someone you're married to now or would have been or whatever, and there were certain things that you did that you didn't, there was almost nothing to you to do, but for whatever reason, it touched them deeply, really deeply, and you just go, you know, what, you know, I don't know why this does. I don't know why this has that effect, but if it blesses them, then okay, you know. That's the spirit in it. Lord, I don't really know the depths of how this blesses you, how this touches you. However, from the story of Mary of Bethany, we get an idea, don't we? But I am doing this. I am putting you first. I'm coming to a gathering that is not about us, but about you on purpose. I'm coming on purpose. I'm coming, right? I'm coming. Because I have the sense that this is blessing him. And that when we all go away from here, we can all say, the Lord was blessed, instead of, I was blessed. Hallelujah. And set him on his own beast. Good grief, folks. We need to put the crucified on top of our beast. You know, that beast in us that does its own thing, that you know, reacts with anger, or that, you know, gets off the rails of what should be going on, and you know, and just say, you know what, this right here is beautiful. I am taking this crucified one and I'm applying it to my beast.
Thank you, Lord.
And he's going to guide it until he's dead. He's going to ride him into the ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the truth is, yes, our old man is crucified already. But until we see that by the Spirit of God and it becomes actual, it's like we have to apply that. Apply the crucified to the beast when it's acting up until we've seen it so clear that we walk in that. I'm going to take one of these because I'm I've got oil and wine all over this. And brought him to an inn. Okay, so the last few ones were set him, brought him, care of him. There's so much of him in here. There's so much of him in this story. And the thing, again, that gets me over and over is that Jesus is telling this story to us. Jesus is telling this story to us. Thank God that He would feel the freedom to tell us this story. You know? And he probably feels, because I've seen this with Paul in his writings. I've seen Paul in his writings have to say things to them that they didn't understand about him. That it was Christ in him, and he was doing what he was doing by that nature. And they didn't understand it, and so he had to explain it. And he says, you know, you, what's the words he used? You constrain me to glory when I don't even want to talk about this. Yeah. I know this must be uncomfortable for Jesus to have to say this, because he's so selfless. But for our sakes, for our sakes, because he knew there would be someone sometime or another that would go, I want to hear this. Yes. And they go, oh my God, yes, I love you. Thank you. If you never said this, this would never have been affected the way that I'm affected, because it's so clear. Yes. Just take 1 second and thank him. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you for that time where you just opened your heart and you put it, you spelled it out for us. Forgive us because we're so dumb, but we're hearing your voice now, and we thank you. Brought him to an end and took care of him. Okay, so the next verse is going to talk about the next day. Took care of him. What does that mean? We don't know the time of day the thing happened or not, but I get the feeling he spent a long time in there with Jesus. And I got a feeling wherever he's going and whatever business he has, he's not getting much sleep. He's not getting rest. He's taking care of what of Jesus' heart, as it were. And took care of him. And took care of him. Verse 35, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. Oh my God. Oh my Lord. This guy is so focused, not on himself. None of this has to do with helping him, blessing him, being in his best interest, an advantage to where he's going or any of this stuff. None of it. There is no advantage at all except the great advantage of being able to pour this on the wounds of Jesus. I'm just going to read that again. It's so beautiful. He took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. It's still in his heart, even though he's leaving. You know, it is. Sometimes, like this, we can be here and we can be seeking the Lord and we can truly reach his heart and everything, but then we have to depart. Does it have to end?
No.
No. It can still go on. We don't say, well, the whatever conference is over or the gathering is over, because we didn't come here for a conference or gathering. We came here to make sure that it wasn't about us, but about him. The caring never ceases. Well said. Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. This again is in an area that I'm not sure how to word, but he's saying, because he doesn't know if the man will be there when he gets back, but he can take care of the guy that he gave money to. I don't know if I can say it. I think somehow the Spirit of God will just have to say it. Whatever you spent more, I'll be back to repay it. And I think he's also doing that for the wounded one again, because he probably couldn't pay They were thieves. They took all of his money. And he's coming back and he's saying, how much over? He tells him, says, this is his money. This is his money. This is paying for him, but it's not mine. It's his money to cover you. He is covering you, not me. No focus on yourself.
Wow.
He is making sure that you're taken care of. The wounded one is doing this. The wounded one's making sure I'm taken care of. And the Samaritan says, yes. This is from him. This is his money. Oh my. See, we can twist it all around to make it about us, can't we? We can do that. But this story is making it hard for us to make it about us. Jesus says, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? He's about to fall among thieves. And the thieves really that he's talking about here is not the two on the either side of him. He's talking about the priest and the Levites, isn't he? They're the guys that should have been there for him. This is the Son of God who before he came down, God set up this thing with Israel and priests and Levites. And if you know anything about, I don't even want to go to the Levites and supposedly being the firstborn, but if you know anything about that, he's coming down. If you had set something up like that and you came down and they all treated you like you're a foreigner and you're the opposite of what this is about, you would look at them as thieves. Because they railroaded, they robbed you of what was originally supposed to be. Which now of these three, see he words that right, doesn't he? That's the right wording because there was a priest and there was a Levite and there was a Samaritan. So it's clear. There's no question about it. He's talking about the priest and the Levite. Was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves. So there's going to be this opportunity. There's going to be this opportunity. He's not dead yet. You can turn from being a priest or a Levite. I know the Lord. I've got it together. I'm going for God. I'm really something special. I. You're already off the rails. You're a priest or a Levite that's passing by the emphasis, or should be the emphasis, and making it about where you're at with God. Instead of it being the crucified, instead of it being you, Lord, you. It's and see, Mary of Bethany was not pouring oil on Jesus of Nazareth. Even though he sat there, she was pouring oil on the crucified for his burial.
Amen.
His burial. In her heart, this is the crucified. See, Christ crucified. Paul said, we preach Christ crucified.
Amen.
Well, she has a funny way of preaching. You know, she never said a word when she came in there. She had a funny way of preaching. Jesus is going, she's got the best way of preaching. Hallelujah. He that showed mercy on him. Which of these? He that showed mercy on him. Which of these was, what's the neighbor? Which of these was neighbor unto him? He that showed mercy unto him. Okay. So I'm sure that they didn't want to say back to Jesus, the one that was neighbor unto him was the Samaritan. Because they looked down on Samaritans. And they didn't want to say that. The answer to them was, oh, he that showed mercy on him. Let's just he, him, yeah. Let's keep it all ethereal and, you know, he, him, yes, we got the story. No, you didn't get the story. You didn't understand it at all. Because I'm talking about you. You should be slapping me right now. Right? Jesus says, what's his response? Go and do thou likewise. All right. Would you like to hear it all of what we've shared the last three nights in order now?
Yes.
with the meat of the sandwich in there? All right, here we go. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up. Okay, what did Mary do? She got down, stood up, and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. See, I intentionally left that out because some of you who know the scriptures would have immediately looked down and found the Good Samaritan story next. So I couldn't mention it or I would have given away the secret for tonight. Okay? Thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Woo! Ooh, I don't even know how to say it. This is life. This is what he's saying to the lawyer. He's saying, you want life? Here's life. This life is, get your mind off of yourself. Quit thinking about your problems. Quit always coming to him in that spirit. And learn to pour out and to love him and to let him know that, not just, you know, and it's, folks, it's a heart condition. We can stand here all night and say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Let's see. It's getting late. I'm supposed to be reading this through. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. I love that. Jesus is good too. He's a good talker. But he, willing to justify himself, I like that way it's written. It didn't just say justified himself. It's trying to point out our motive that we're willing to do that in the face of the truth that's coming at us. Well, you know, I don't talk that much about myself. Or whatever. You know, I'm not asking you to be selfless. I'm asking you to think of selfless. Guess that's the same thing. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He's saying, you're not that. Do you? Yeah, thank you. He's saying, you're not this. By that wording, he's literally saying, you're not it. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, and pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, because he's asking, who is my neighbor? He's going, which of these three? You're one of them, buddy. You're one of them that is focused on what you can get instead of giving. You're one of the three, which he's got him nailed. which now of these three thinkest thou? What do you think? Can you see it in the story if you can't see it in your own life? And he said, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? That fell among the thieves. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. This is his answer, folks, to see, this is tied to the other story. This is his answer to what must I do to inherit eternal life. This is these are not separate stories just flopping around here. They are clearly moving along in one heart and one spirit. Okay, and then... And he said, he that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass, as he went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary. My God. See, I was so afraid y'all were going to find the meat. The middle part, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Oh my gosh, and heard his word. Like, it's not like sitting in church. It's not like sitting on a pew or in church and hearing the preacher. It is, you can come in, you can sit on a pew, you can hear the preacher, but you're not there for that. You want to hear the word. You want to hear Jesus speaking to you from that. And it may not be what he's saying. I encourage our people, don't listen to me. If God uses something I say to take you off somewhere else, I'm not going, well, you need to be listening to me. No, that's not. I'm not that important. Okay, it's not about me. And it's about Jesus. And so we sit there and we say, Jesus, I want to hear your word. And in my heart, though I cannot get on my knees right now in this place, I am in my heart on my knees here saying, I want to hear your word. The word that flows from your heart. You try that, and the Holy Spirit will show up.
Praise the Lord.
because he wants to glorify Christ. Verse 40, but Martha was cumbered. Martha was cumbered about much serving. Now, she is there to serve Jesus. He's a guest. I mean, you do understand that. He's a guest. So the serving that she is doing, the ministry that she is doing, she thinks it's to Jesus or for Jesus. And there is a difference between to Jesus and for Jesus. But if it's for Jesus, then you're doing the task that you're doing is the important thing, and this is for you. So I want to make this really good so that it pleases you. That's different than just pleasing him. You know, it's different. One is your heart is totally towards him. The other is, I do love you, therefore I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it right and good and whatever. And then when something goes wrong and this gets in the way or whatever, you, hey, this is, why does this always happen? Or, you know what I mean? Or we want this thing to be good. We're running out of, you know, wine or something, you know, and Jesus, or, you know, we need Jesus in here to make some wine for the, you know. I mean, wasn't that what happened in that situation? Always getting all caught up in the thing, not caught up in Jesus, and then going, you know, getting frustrated in the process, in the details. And it's easy to do, and we've all done it. My Lord, you know, I mean, there's none of the looking around going, well, you know, I know so-and-so, you know. It's like, I know so-and-so, it's me, you know. You know, there's that heart. There's that heart that has to be in it, and not into the thing you're doing for him. You do it, but your heart is with him. Let's see. Let me. Cumbered about with much serving. So she's cumbered with serving him. So she comes to him. She's cumbered with serving him. So she comes to him and going, look, the problem is right there at your feet. It's Mary. You could call her Geraldine or Kelly or any, you know, it doesn't matter. When you're involved in the ministry like that, you get irritated with people that aren't busy. You know, it's like, you know, but you see, we're carrying the weight of the ministry. That's why we do that. We shouldn't be carrying the weight of the ministry. But we are, so we're going, man, I need one more person, and they're over there at Jesus' feet.
Lazarus, get in here.
Yeah, Lazarus, get out of the tomb and come in here and help. All right. So, she came to him. Those words always keep sticking in my heart. She came to him. This is your chance, Martha. This is the way I think. This is your chance. This is your chance. You can break with this right now. You can do that. Now, we all have done this. You can break with this. Right now, you can look at her, and you can look at him, and you can just take the time to stop thinking about what's going on or what's you need or whatever, and try to plug into him and that person and just see if there's something there that maybe is eternal or pleasing him more than this. And then go,
yes, Lord.
You know, Jesus, I'm fixing to fall at your feet.
Can you
You can hear Martha saying, I'm fixing to fall at your feet, but we're going to have takeout, okay? That won't be as good.
That's right.
But that's what we're going to do.
Amen.
He goes, good deal. And she'll fall down there with Mary.
Right.
And they both just seek the Lord. Instead, she said, I'm sorry to break your bubble, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Don't you even care that my sister in the Lord hath left me to serve you alone? You know, isn't that terrible, Jesus? He's going, oh my God. Would you like to join Lazarus in the tomb? But I mean, just think if you're Jesus and you're sitting there hearing that, and she's left me to serve you alone. Instead of saying, I'll serve you alone, I don't care if nobody joins in. I will do what I can, and if it's only this little bit in the right spirit for you, then here we go, Jesus. And he doesn't go, well, this is too little. Because for him, it's the quality of the heart, not the quantity. So why do we get so, we just do. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Bid her that she stop. Bid her that she change focus. Bid her that we really bring forth a great thing here. The great thing she's going to bring forth or trying to bring forth, he doesn't want. Okay? Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Go and do thou likewise. Oh, I'm sorry, that's up there, but doesn't it fit?
Yes.
It's still go and do thou likewise. It's still that spirit. It's still that heart. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. We are so grateful that you have, through those who have such a heart for you, pulled together this time where we could come from different countries, different towns in Ireland, different places, and we could come and we could love on you and pour out. And we want to thank you for all those who were not Martha's, and even if they were, we thank you for them, because we wouldn't have been here together. So we thank you. We thank you. And we, Father, we pray that this pouring out has blessed you, that your Son is receiving instead of just giving now. We see in heaven, see in the book of Revelation, all glory to the Lamb. We see those kinds of words that are blessing him. And it blesses us to see it happen. Lord, help us, like in this this chapter, these verses that we've gone through. Help us to stop just reading a bunch of different stories and thinking we understand it because we understand the storyline without the spirit of it. I have done it in this Father, the Good Samaritan story. I think many have. We've missed Jesus in it. And that's what we do regularly. We miss Jesus. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And so, Father, we are humbled. We are. We could even get discouraged from what we've heard by thinking of times we've done this or thoughts we've had or whatever. But that's not your intention. Your intention is to draw us, Jesus, to your feet and to your heart. And so, Father, whatever failings that we've done in the past, we ask through Jesus that you forgive those things. Wash them away in his blood and then change our hearts more and more. And Father, how would we really know the true depth of this reality without a contrast? Not just in the scripture, but us being the contrast of it. You use these things. You don't use them to beat us or condemn us. You use them to give us hope that we can move from where we are to where you are, like the man, the Good Samaritan. He moved to where you are. So, Father, I just rebuke the enemy that would try to attack anybody under condemnation or whatever, because I know that that's not your desire. And so, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that the Spirit of God take the seeds of what has been sown into their heart tonight and spring them up in your timing, in the harvest time of your timing in their life. And I thank you that we, Lord, if in truth we never, none of us in this place ever changed from what we were in this other side, I thank you that we were blessed to hear of this other reality that is true in you and it's true in your heart, Jesus. And we can know such a thing exists in your heart. But I believe you don't share things just to give us information. You share them because you're bringing us along. And I know apart from the enemy, I know our minds, Father, we can think, well, this is true for others, but it's not true for me, or it will never be true, or there's no hope for me. Father, we totally leave us in this process, the thought process. We leave us in our way of thinking, and we look into your heart. We see you want your son. We see how you want this whole thing to go in all of our lives, and we say, since that's in your heart, regardless of what state I'm in, I ask you to make that real in me. I volunteer. I volunteer. And I will say to you, Father, that when I am aware that I start focusing back on myself and my lack, that I will again drop that and say, that's not an issue. The issue is, you want your son in me, and I'm trusting your heart to bring that about, not based on me, not based on my goodness or badness, not based on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Father, I just pray that blessing upon your people right now. I just pray that blessing upon your people right now. They're your people. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just gather our hearts right now around what you've put inside of us. We want to get to your feet. We just want to pour in the oil and the wine into the wounds. Lord, we're just our hearts are just caught with the invitation to love you in this way. And Lord, we just can't let it be a teaching. We just want to begin to love you. So Father, we just do that now, each in our own way, each in our own way. But we remain with you. We say yes, Lord. So I just want to dismiss you, but also offer you the opportunity to linger, to minister, to pour over Jesus, to use this time to pour over him, pour over Jesus.
I just want to read. Cassie's over here giving it to me, and I already had this. It was the last thing I was going to read to you. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. And he came, therefore, and he took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, and took the body of Jesus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight.
Hallelujah! Break that box.
Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the same place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre where was never a man yet laid. They laid Jesus there because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Jesus was laid in a garden because it's not just a graveyard where it's all death. It's where new life comes up. And somebody, we always look at all the Marys that came. They came too late and they weren't able to anoint him other than Mary of Bethany. Don't think you women are the only ones. Two guys. Okay. Yeah, I know. Woo. Praise God.